Brother Sheldon and I go back many years, back to when I was just a boy on the farm in the country. And so I've known him and I've heard him preach all these years. And I am not disappointed in any sermon that he's ever given. I do find in his desires the will to do that which the Lord has given him to do. And it has been my pleasure to be associated with him, even at this time. I ask for you to give your attention and your prayers of support to our brother, Apostle William Shelton.
Oh, boy. Thank you, Brother Rollin. It's been a pleasure to have had your association through the years, Brother Rollin. I really mean that. And I'm grateful to have the privilege of once again standing before you and seeking to bear witness for, well, what the prophet Isaiah gives us in the 29th chapter, to bear witness of the fact that in the time of distress and unbelief amongst the nations of men, that God would perform a marvelous work and a wonder. And that's what I really want to talk about, is that marvelous work and a wonder of God. And my principal thinking is to give us some food for thought as to the divine visitation of God unto the children of men in these the latter days, and also in the future. And I'm so thankful that in his visitation he saw fit to send forth his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who came down to this sin-sick earth in his time. And he showed forth the loving kindness of God in healing their sick and afflicted ones, and of giving counsel unto the mostly those of the house of Israel in his time, but also extending to the Gentiles later on, of how he visited them, not only in the preaching of the good word of life and of peace, but of healing their sick and afflicted ones, of casting out devils, of ministering to them in a very physical way as well as a spiritual way. But my having said that, we are made to realize that the burden of the gospel of Christ is principally in a spiritual sense, and it has to do with the preaching of the gospel of salvation, of the attempt of God to lead the children of men ever closer through the knowledge of the truth, and having the knowledge of the truth that they might obey him and receive even more fully of his grace and mercy upon them. And so we have the gospel proclaimed to us, and rightly so, that is easy to be understood, and yet how quickly men turn away from the pure, simple doctrine of Christ unto imaginations of their own mind and listening to the persuasions of others rather than to listen unto him through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. And so God has had his hands pretty full with the human race from Adam's time down to the present. And for this reason, we find that Christ gave unto the children of men in very simple terms the principles of his gospel that was designed to bring them back to God. And you know, as it is, even with a babe in the flesh, that babe is given the milk, usually from the mother, but only milk in the beginning because it, first place, doesn't have teeth to chew anything. It can only stand that milk. Well, by the same token, we're called to be babes and little children of God, and to receive the pure milk of the gospel that is designed to comfort and strengthen and encourage us and show us the way of eternal life. And it's right that we should hear that preaching and that admonition from the servants of God in our time, even as in times of old, and to have those things brought to our mind continually of that pure, sweet gospel of Christ. It is well that we receive of the milk. But you know, as we grow a little older in our service to God and in our walk of life, we should come to the place where that the teeth has taken place within us and our body can stand the additional food that would be termed as meat. And that's really what I'm wanting to bring to our attention this morning, is some of the meat that is contained. And it's very well that we should be advised not only of the things of the in the doctrine of Christ itself that are designed to give us greater spiritual enlightenment, but in the process that we also take into consideration the words of the prophets that he has sent and whom he will yet send upon the earth and among the nations of men. And that's what I'm wanting to bring to our attention this morning, is some of the things that have been revealed in the past in which God has made a divine manifestation of himself unto mankind, to not only speak of those things that have passed, but also to speak of things that are yet to come. And I hope that some of you will have the means by which to take a note here or there, and perhaps go into your scriptures as well, as I might bring some things to your attention that will cause us to realize what some of that meat is that I'm speaking of here. And we're told in the words of the prophet Amos, a text that has been of constant usage within the church from the very beginning. When I say the very beginning, I mean from 1830 down to the present time. We're constantly reminded of this text as found in the third chapter of Amos and the 8th verse. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. God will reveal himself through his servants, the prophets, of what he has in mind for the human family. And he has in mind not only to produce believers that would accept of the milk of the gospel, but it would also be worthy to receive the meat that he has for them as well. And so I want to go into some of these things here. Let me ask you some very pointed questions here. As concerning prophets, now I'm asking you, do you believe that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God? Well, I'll tell you this, if you don't believe that he was a prophet of God, we have no basis for standing as a church, because he did receive from the visitation of the Holy Spirit in his life the words that God designed to give unto his people in the latter days, that which should comfort and strengthen them, not only from a physical standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint especially. And so again, I say that I ask you the question, do you believe that Joseph Smith was a prophet? Now, this is not to say that he was not a human being and was subject to error and did make many errors. But he did give the Word of God, and he has given us this treasured book that we call and is called the Book of Mormon. It isn't what we call it, it's what is called the Book of Mormon. Through that prophet, Joseph Smith, we have this record that we cherish in the church just as much as we cherish this record of the Bible. And sad to say, most of the Christian faith today have no concept of any word of God coming unto them, only that which is recorded in the Bible. Well, it's a second witness for Christ that bears witness to the truthfulness of the gospel of Christ as found in the Bible, and as is influenced by the Spirit of God into the lives of those who would believe. We have a wonderful treasure, and it's a part of that marvelous work and a wonder that I spoke of a while ago. So if we don't believe that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, then we've got nothing. We've got no different claim, no greater claim to being Christ's church than any of the others in our Christian philosophy or Christian society today. I'll ask you another question here. How many of you believe that Granville Hedrick had the gift of prophecy? Some of you may not even know who Granville Hedrick was. Well, I'll tell you, Granville Hedrick was a prophet of God too. He had the gift of prophecy, and he delivered up a revelation in 1862, directing the members of the church around Bloomington, Illinois, especially, to prepare for 1864. He gave it in 64 and prepare for 1867, at which time the Lord would open up the way by their faith and prayers that they might return here to Independence, Missouri, for the gathering of the saints. And that's the reason that you and I are here today, is because of that revelation through Granville Hedrick. We believe in that. I'm asking that you believe in it too. And we need to look into those things to find out if there's any truth to what I'm telling you here. That Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, and so also was Granville Hedrick. And there's been others as well who have been moved by the spirit of prophecy. And so God is indeed performing a marvelous work and a wonder in the latter days. And he's done so through men in times past and have set the stage for the coming forth of the gospel and the establishment of the Church of Christ in these latter days. So check it out. You have your scriptures, And there are those of us, including myself, would try to do everything that we can to try to get you to see the truth of what I've been speaking of here. Joseph Smith, by reason of bringing forth the Book of Mormon in the latter days and by the commandment of God with others, was commanded to establish the Church of Christ, and that's the reason we're here today. You and I are here in this building today because of that being a divine revealment of God to Joseph Smith. I'd like to read to you from our outline history, and you probably won't have that here, but I want to read some of these things to you from the outline history, and I hope you'll bear with me in some of the things that I'm going to read to you that will verify what I've just been saying here. And the first thing that Joseph Smith received as he was debating which church to join in his day and time as a young lad, he read in the scriptures in the book of James, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." And he believed that. And because he believed that, he went out into the woods and prayed. And God himself and his son, Jesus Christ, appeared to him. I'm affirming that that was a divine visitation given to Joseph Smith. And here's what I want to read to you in that connection from our outline history. I failed to bring my magnifying glass. It has the light in it. So I hope that I can handle this all right with this here. I'm going to read from page 15 and 16 of the outline history, and here's what it says. While I was laboring under the extreme difficulties caused by the parties of religionists, I was one day reading the epistle of James, first chapter, this verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to men, all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given them. Now, never did any personage at length I came to the determination to ask of God, concluding that he gave, if he gave wisdom to them who lacked wisdom, and would give liberally and not upbraid, I might venture. So in accordance with this, my determination to ask of God, I retired to the woods to make the attempt. It was in the morning of a beautiful day, early in the spring of 1820. It was the first time in my life that I had made such an attempt to adjust to I can't read that word. My anxieties, as I had never as yet made the attempt to pray vocally. After I had retired into the place where I had previously designed to go, having looked around me and finding myself alone, I kneeled down and began to offer up the desires of my heart to God. You ever try to do that? I had scarcely done so when immediately I was seized upon by some power which entirely overcame me and had such astonishing influence upon me as to bind my tongue so that I could not speak. Thick darkness gathered round me, and it seemed to me for a time as if I was doomed to sudden destruction. But exerting all my powers to call upon God to deliver me out of the power of this enemy who had seized upon me, and at the very moment when I was ready to sink into despair and abandon myself to destruction, from an imaginary ruin, but the power of the same actual being from the unseen world, who had such marvelous power and as I had never felt. Well, anyway, I guess I'm just going to have to give you the story instead of reading it all here. This marvelous power came upon him and sought to bring about his destruction. But he called upon God. And then as he was calling upon God, he saw two personages came and stood before him. And one spoke unto him, saying to him to give heed to the words of this other personage. And that other personage asked him what he wanted. He wanted to know which church he should join. He was told to join none of them, for their creeds were an abomination in the sight of God. That God would use him and give him power to bring forth that which would be a benefit not only to him, but unto those with whom he had to do, in his family and elsewise. I'm using my own terminology on this. So he actually saw two personages, the Father and the Son. He doesn't call them the Father and the Son. It just simply identifies them as two divine personages. But there's no doubt in my mind it was the Father and the Son. And it was the Son that told him to join none of those churches because their creeds were an abomination in the sight of God, and that the Lord would use him for his own purposes in the latter days. A second divine manifestation was the appearance of the angel Moroni in regard to the plates for the Book of Mormon. And that's found in the Outline History, pages 21 and 22. And the larger histories tells us that it was Moroni that came to Joseph Smith. When he was praying, he was very much concerned about his own human frailties, and he was praying to God, and this divine personage came to him and told him about a record that was had upon this continent, and that he would show him where it was, and he was able to determine right then and there where that place was that the record was had. And in time, he was able to go there to that hill that was called the Hill Cumorah, and there he was able to get possession of the records that Moroni had in store for him. And he was given to understand much of what what was in the book that was covered by that record. He was given to understand much of it right there as the angel spoke to him. And in the history further, we're told that Joseph Smith went from there to his home, and he told his family of those things that he had received, the knowledge that he had received with regarding the inhabitants of this land, and gave them many details. Before the Book of Mormon was ever translated, he received many details as to what the record of the Book of Mormon is about the Nephites and the working of God with them. So that was a divine manifestation of God, given by God, and should be a source of comfort and strength to us today to realize that God has been in this work from the very beginning. We've not received that which is according to the imaginations of men. We've received that which has come from God by divine visitation, by sending prophets, by sending those who have gone on the earth before us, and they being empowered to deliver the word of God unto Joseph Smith and thus to us today. So he did receive the visitation of that angel Moroni, and he was shown where the plates were to be found, and he later was not able to get them immediately. It was a matter of 4 years before he was able to obtain those plates. I'm telling you that these are things that we need to be concerned about. This is some of the meat that we need to understand with regard to the latter-day work of God. A third thing of divine visitation in the past was the appearance to Joseph Smith of the angel as referred to in Revelations 14, 6, and 7. And here's what it says. I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell upon the earth, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. I tell you that angel was, that visitation, or that word in the book of Revelation, there, 14th chapter, was fulfilled by the coming of the angel who turned out to be John the Baptist, according to the greater histories, who told Joseph Smith of commanded them to baptize each other. Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery went to this angel, and he commanded them to baptize each other, and they did so. And also he laid hands upon them and ordained them to the priesthood of Aaron. It was called the priesthood of Aaron. And we have to look at that as a offshoot of the Melchizedek priesthood that was later given to them. But anyway, that angel did appear to them, to Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery, ordained them into the holy priesthood, and set the stage for the establishment of the Church of Christ in 1830, and by which we have our being and our beginning. These are important things for our consideration and to remember that these are all a part of the divine visitation of God in the latter days. That's found in Outline History, page 35, if you want to go to that. There's another matter that I want to call to our attention that I don't want to take the time to go into, but it's every bit as marvelous as any of the things that I've been speaking of here. And that was the fact that the Lord visited our Apostle Clarence L. Wheaton back in the year 1850 and 51 and 52, and caused that he should go down into Mexico. Now, he was looking for some white Indians down there, as he'd heard about, but the purpose of God was not in that direction. It was that he should have contact with some of the Mayan Indian people down in Mexico, and he was directed to go to this certain town in Yucatan, Mexico, and that there he was to find one whose name was Nemesio Xu, X-I-U-E, I think it is, something like that. He was to go to his house and proclaim the gospel to him. And he did go. And he took his little Book of Mormon that he had, although it was hot, and he just, his human declared that he ought not to take it, but he was about ready to leave it home, or with not take it upon his journey. But his wife insisted that he take that little Book of Mormon with him, and he took it to the house of this man named Xu, and they arranged to have a meeting in which the chief elders of the various people of that community, or the communities around there of the Maya people, they were to gather together, and they did come together the next day. And Joseph Smith, he couldn't speak Maya, he couldn't even speak Spanish, but he had an interpreter along with him, and he gave a quotation from the Book of Mormon to this interpreter. It was in 3 Nephi, the words of Jesus Christ, of how that Christ came to the people upon this continent after his death and resurrection, and taught them the same gospel that he taught the Jews over there in Jerusalem. And this interpreter read that text, and when that man who was called the great leader of the Mayan people, when he heard that interpretation, or the language of the interpreter given to him in place of the English of Joseph Smith, he took that book in his hand and he says, "This is our book." And from that time, the Church of Christ has been had as a body of Christ down there in Mexico from that time till the present time. Now we have some 400 to 500 members amongst the Maya Indians in Yucatan, Mexico. I'm talking about some of the marvelous things that God has done in the past. And I have only just given a briefing of several of these things here in order to just give you something to think about. But I want to also speak of the visitation that is yet to be made in the future. Are you aware that according to the Book of Mormon that there is to be a marred servant to be sent to the Gentiles and giving a final cry of repentance to the Gentiles in the last days? Are you aware of that? Well, we're living in the last days. And there's to be a marred servant, according to 3 Nephi in the 9th chapter, sent of God, who will be marred because of them, but his life will be in the Lord's hands. So there's to be a marred servant yet to come. In addition to that, we find that there is recorded in the 2 Nephi in the 2nd chapter a circumstance in which there is to be a servant of God raised up amongst the so-called Lamanites, and to do a mighty work amongst them in bringing them to the knowledge of the gospel. And it says in the book of Ether, in the Bible that the time would come in the latter days that the Gentiles would have faith as did the brother of Jared. And when they should reach that faith that was had by the brother of Jared, then the records of the ancient Americans who were even here before the time of Lehi and his family, meaning the Jaredites, that record was to come forth in these the latter days. And there's going to be another seer to come forth to take care of that translation of that record. It was called the seal portion of the Book of Mormon that Joseph Smith was not permitted to translate. It's a record of God from the beginning down to the end, according to the words of the prophet Ether. We're living in marvelous times. We cannot begin to imagine the magnitude of that work that God has established, but we're there. And we have seen, as I have tried to bring out, we have seen how that God has worked with his people of the house of Israel in the latter days among the Gentiles to bring them to the knowledge of the gospel. We have received the gospel. We received the Book of Mormon. The Church of Christ has been established because of the coming forth of the Book of Mormon and because of the commandment of God. And they did organize the church on April 6, 1830. And this is the only church that can claim to have come into existence because that angel flew in the midst of heaven, as I referred to back there in Revelations 14, 6, and 7. This is the only church that can claim to be in existence today because of the flight of an angel. God is indeed performing and has performed already a marvelous work and a wonder, and he's got some marvelous things yet to come to our attention. Well, I'm sorry that I was not able to read to you these texts from the outline history, but go into that. You folks should have your outline history. Go into those things that are recorded there and find out how that the Lord has indeed begun to perform that marvelous work and a wonder. And we are here today, and a blessed people with every hope of eternal life through the gospel of Christ, but also with the hope that we will live and we be living upon this earth when Jesus Christ is going to come to this earth again. It's a marvelous thing in my estimation, and the Lord has given it into our hands to do with as we please. Now, we may turn away from it. We may reject it, but we've got a story that to tell to the nations that no other church can claim, and it's a marvelous thing in God's sight, and I'm going to leave that with you at this time.